Are we out there? Praise the Lord. There we go. Everybody awake? Everybody ready to receive the word tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm happy to be up here bringing the word tonight, but when I tell you that I had a moment with God today, just believe me that I had a moment with God today. Has God ever dealt with anybody in here? Surely not, because you all are perfect. God's never dealt with you about anything. Well, let me tell you, God dealt with me today. I knew that I was going to be preaching. I knew I was going to be speaking a couple weeks ago because Pastor Mark and Miss Margaret have been out of town and they asked me to do this service. And so I was like, all right, good to go. Start studying, figure out what I'm going to do. God, help me. What am I going to speak on? What am I going to preach on? Been doing a series in youth. So am I going to bring that upstairs and do that kind of thing? What is it that you would have me do? Nothing. Right? Nothing. So I continue on and every day I'm kind of thinking about it and praying about it and get to a certain point where I'm like, okay, God, I've got to have something, right? Bible says to be ready in season and out of season, right? So if I'm out of season, I still have to have something to speak on. And so I got some things ready, got some things together, and it started kind of, started going places. And I'm like, all right, I've got scripture, I've got a couple of points, I've got some things that I can share. It's going to be all right. Well, I got to today. Yeah, got to today. And nothing is cohesive. Nothing is it's just like it's a dud. There's no inspiration there. There's nothing behind it. You can ask my wife. I came home at lunch and I was frustrated. I was getting a little bit stressed, and that's not of God, right? That's not of God. I shouldn't have frustration and stress trying to prepare a message from His Word, right? But I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I need to do. And so I kind of think about it a little bit, and God had told me already to go back and speak on something that I have already taught. I'd already preached. I'd already done that. And at the time, I was like, God, I don't want to do that. I don't want to recycle material, just that kind of thinking, which is wrong. I get it. But when I say God dealt with me, He said, oh, so you've exhausted everything there is to know about that topic. Gosh, right? Anybody ever got that? Yeah. And so I was like, oh man, I don't want to go back and go over this and do this. And there's got to be something else, right? There's got to be something. I'm thinking about it going on. And today, it's like, God, I've already taught on this, I've already spoke on this, I've already done this exact message. And I had the privilege of doing the graduation commencement service for the school. And so that's what He was telling me to go back to is a certain portion of this. And I don't want to bore people. I don't want them to, And so God said, again, not in an audible voice, but you can get that on the inside of you where you know where it's coming from. He said, so what's greater in you, the fear of man or the fear of me? So here I am. And if you were here for the graduation service, you'll get something else out of it. But God wanted me to talk about faithfulness. He wanted me to talk about faithfulness. And we're going to start by laying a foundation of faith. So go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1. Just to give you a snippet of what my day was like, sitting in my office, cleaning the building, asking God what he wants me to do. Praise the Lord. But we have an expectation, amen? Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." I love so much the way the Amplified puts it. It says, "Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, those things divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses." Faith is the assurance of God's word and the belief in all that he has done. I heard somebody say recently, talking about faith, is that faith is the car. Hope is the fuel. Amen? Faith is the car. Hope is the fuel because it's the substance of things hoped for. The assurance. Now, when it says title deed, when you hold the title deed to your car, you have the deed to your home, what does that mean? That means you own it. Amen? It's yours. So faith is the assurance of things hoped for, those things that have been divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things that we cannot comprehend with our physical senses. You know, I've heard some people say over the years that I have faith in something. Fill in the blank. I have faith in prayer. Right? I've got faith in prayer. Well, that's good, but what you're actually saying is that you have faith in the God who hears and answers prayer. Amen? I have faith in healing. Well, that's a good thing, right? I have faith in healing, but what you're really saying is that you have faith in the God who heals. I have faith in the Word. You have faith in the God who spoke the Word. And then everything came into existence. Amen? He spoke the Word. That's the Word that you believe. This is the Word of God. Divinely inspired. Amen? These are His words to you and me. So you can have faith in the God of His Word. Amen? Praise God. So it's not just in the principles of a thing, but it's in the person. Paul said, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him." Faith is such a personal thing. It's a very personal thing. Even when you go outside of the Christian faith and what we believe, faith is such a personal thing to those people, whatever they believe, right? But our faith, it's such a personal thing. It's not just that I have faith in a what, but I have faith in who. Amen? We have faith in God. In Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 22, it says, "Have faith in God." Amen. Jesus tells them, "Have faith in God. God, for whoever says unto this mountain, 'Be cast into the sea,' and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes the thing that he says, then he'll have it." Amen? That's faith. That's things that aren't comprehended with your physical mind. I mean, can you physically comprehend removing a mountain and it being cast into the sea? No, but do you believe God? Absolutely. If he says it can be done, then we have to attach our faith to it and believe that what he says is true. Amen? Because he's a good God and he can be trusted. He can be relied upon. Amen? So, with those things in mind, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll start with verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. And Paul says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 16. And this starts out with a good piece of advice. Rejoice always. I got one rejoicer on the front row. Rejoice always. You know, I've made it a habit in our chapel services to always start, before we do our pledges, before we do anything else, I've made it a habit for them to say with me, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Every Wednesday morning that we have chapel, I have them say that. Right? Because rejoicing is a choice. Right? You have to choose to rejoice. You have to choose to be glad. Because not every situation is worthy of rejoicing. Every situation, you're not happy this is happening. Right? But we make that decision. We make that choice. So when he says here, rejoice always in every situation, no matter what's going on around you, you should be able to rejoice. Because what's happening around you pales in comparison to what he's already done in your life. So you can rejoice a little bit about what God has done, what he is doing, and for what he's about to do. Amen? So rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will of God, that you give thanks, that you pray without ceasing, and that you rejoice always. It goes on to say in verse 19, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. He who calls you is faithful. That reminds me of a scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, I believe it is. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The one who started the work in you is going to see it through. Why? Because he's faithful. He's faithful. From beginning to end, he's faithful. From the moment he called you to the moment he calls you home, he's faithful. He's faithful. Somebody say, He's faithful. Even in this life that we live, we face trials and tribulations, and we go through things and we contend with things. You'll have hardship and temptation in this life, there is no doubt. We're told that multiple times. That just because you accept Jesus, your life doesn't automatically get easier. Right? Oftentimes, it creates other problems for you. I don't know if you've ever had persecution from family members when you decided to follow Jesus. Friend groups kind of dissolved when you decided to follow Jesus. We're going to face things when we make that decision. But listen to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 in the Amplified says, "No temptation, regardless of its source, has overtaken or enticed you that is not common to human experience, nor is any temptation unusual or beyond human resistance. But God is faithful." Hallelujah. He's faithful to His Word. He is compassionate and trustworthy. And He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability to resist, but along with the temptation, He has in the past and is now and will always provide the way out as well, so that you will be able to endure it without yielding and will overcome temptation with joy. With joy. That when you come out on the other side, you'll have joy. But while you're in the middle of it, what are you going to do? You're going to rejoice. You're going to have joy. You're going to give thanks. Hallelujah. Amen? Because He's faithful. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're being tempted with, no matter the trial or the tribulation, He says, "I'm going to make a way out." Amen? There is nothing that you cannot handle as long as you're in Me, as long as you're rejoicing and giving thanks. Right? A lot of times, that's the key to victory.
Yes, 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 yes.
Is to rejoice while you're in the middle of it. To say, "God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but I know that You're faithful, and I'm going to rejoice anyway. I'm going to glorify You anyway." Jesus said in John chapter 16, "In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And when we do fall short, and when we do make a mistake, because it happens, we're not perfect, praise God, but we're being perfected day by day. Amen? How many of you are going from faith to faith, from glory to glory? We're being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We are being perfected. You know, I was talking to a friend the other day, and we were talking about the difference between justification and sanctification. You know, justified, that's a legal term. That's a courtroom word, right? You're justified the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's when you're justified, right? But your sanctification is a lifelong process. You are working out your own salvation. You are being sanctified, being perfected, being transformed into the image of Christ every single day. Right? But we are human beings, and we mess up, and we make mistakes. And that's why this scripture was written to Christians. In 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins..." He is what? There it is again. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's faithful. God is faithful in every season. God is faithful in every situation. God is faithful in every area of your life. So, in seeing these things, the question is no longer, is God faithful? We've proven that out. He's faithful, right? Everybody say again, He's faithful. So the question then becomes, are you faithful to Him? And that might be a little bit more difficult to answer. That might cause a little tension and maybe a little bit of uncomfiness. But we know that God is faithful. And we said that faith is the assurance of God's word and the belief in all that He's done. And faithfulness is living in accordance with that truth. Faithfulness is living in accordance with that truth, knowing that we have the assurance of God's word. Assurance is a great word because it's a word of confidence, of surety, of certainty. Right? We have the assurance of these things. He's given us every tool that we need to trust Him, to believe in Him. Right? So our faithfulness is dependent on what He's already told us and what He's already accomplished. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, says, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Now, a steward is just another word for an overseer or a manager of something. And if you look at the story of Joseph, what was Joseph? He was a steward of Potiphar's house, right? So Joseph was a steward, and Peter said he considered himself, along with every other believer, all other Christians, that we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're stewarding the grace of God. And we know that the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what else are we doing? We're stewarding the Holy Spirit that is on the inside of us, right? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. So if we're grieving the Holy Spirit, are we being good stewards of His Spirit? No, but we are stewards of the Spirit of God. We are stewards of the Word of God, the message that goes forth. Everything that comes from this pulpit, we are stewarding the Word of God. And that's why we say all the time to hold us accountable, right? Make sure it's really in there. But we're stewarding, we're ministering, we're serving the congregation. But we're stewarding the Word of God. We're stewarding the Spirit of God. We're stewarding, as Peter put it, the manifold grace of God. So to be a faithful steward meant being reliable, dependable, trustworthy. To be a steward is to have the heart of a servant, right? To be humble. That's being a steward. Do you guys remember the story of Jesus turning water into wine? Of course you do. So let's turn there. Go to John chapter 2. And I love this dialogue between Jesus and His mother. But in John chapter 2, let me flip another page. Starting with verse 1. You know, I'm going to take just a side note real quick. Because when I was looking at this and I was studying this, we see in the baptism of Jesus. You know, Jesus lived his entire life up until this point with no divinity, right? Jesus was God. Jesus was born a man, right? And you hear stories and you see things all the time where people talk about, well, when Jesus was a kid, he healed birds, and we don't have any record of any of these things happening, right? So Jesus, when he came to earth as a man, as a baby, right? It's getting around Christmas time, the birth of Jesus. He gave up his divine power. He gave it up. It wasn't until he came to the River Jordan with John the Baptist, and John was like, listen, I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me. Like, you're the Messiah. But Jesus insists and is baptized. And it says that when Jesus came up out of the water, what happened? That the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And he was then filled with the Spirit, right? Jesus regained that divine power. That divinity came back in him. He was endued. We read in the book of Acts, it says they were endued with power, right? Jesus was then endued with power. But before we see any miracles happen in the life of Jesus, before any of that takes place, there are some 37, 38 recorded miracles that Jesus performed while he was on earth. Recorded miracles. John chapter 20, I believe it says, and many more miracles were performed that were not recorded in this book, so that you may believe, right? They didn't have time to write them all down. But before Jesus does anything, before he does any miracles, before he performs anything like that, he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And this is what God said of him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Before Jesus performed any miracles, before Jesus healed anybody, before Jesus gathered disciples, before Jesus preached a sermon, before Jesus did anything at all to prove himself, quote unquote, I use that prove himself loosely, before he did any of that, what did God say about him? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Guys, when we start from that place, it's not about what you do. It's not about what people say about you. It's not about your achievements and accomplishments and all of these things that... No, when you become part of the family of God, from that moment, God says, this is my beloved son or daughter in whom I am well pleased. Get that identity about yourself. That before you're anything else, you're a son or you're a daughter. Amen. That'll change things, I promise you. He is faithful because he loves you. He is faithful because he calls you son. He calls you daughter. He's faithful. We know faith works by love, right? And God operates by the same system. God is a faith God. Amen? He's a God of love. Faith worketh by love. Faith operates by love. So God loves you so much that he keeps his word. He remains faithful to you because he loves you first. Amen? Amen? He's faithful. Let's look at John chapter 2. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And so Jesus is just there celebrating whoever's wedding this is, right? They're in Galilee. They're celebrating a wedding. They run out of wine. Now, if you know anything about Jewish tradition or the Middle East in general, who likes to run out of food and drink at an event? I mean, come on, right? But this was considered extremely inhospitable. This was disgraceful for you to run out of wine. So Mary goes to Jesus and says, "Listen, they don't have any wine. They ran out." And Jesus essentially is like, "What's that got to do with me?" Right? He says, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." What does this have to do with me? This is none of my concern. This is not my wedding. My hour has not yet come. I heard it was Julian Adams. We went to an event, and Julian Adams, I don't know if any of you know who he is, but he was ministering at this event, and he said something that struck me. Jesus said, "My hour has not yet come." But Mary is going to him saying, "You need to do something." And he said this. He said that Mary reached out into a future promise and pulled it into the present.
Yeah, that's good. That's right.
Like, wow. It's amazing. She reached out into a future promise. Said, "Jesus, you need to do something about this." So he says, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Then his mother, Jesus' mother, Mary, said to the servants, now listen to this, because I truly believe that this is one of the most profound things in all of Scripture. I'm talking about Old Testament, New Testament, all of it. This is one of the most profound things. And I believe that this can be the key to miracles happening in the earth. This could be the way that we see a move of God like we've never seen before. I believe that this is truly the key to being found faithful to God. Look at what Mary says. "Whatever he says, do it." A single sentence. One of the most profound things in all of Scripture. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it. And when mama turns on the tone that mamas can take, right? Anybody know what that is? They did what was asked of them, right? It says, "Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, 'Fill the water pots with water.'" And so what did they do? They filled them to the brim. Filled them all the way up, right? And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And what did they do? They took it, buddy. Took it straight to him. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that had been made wine and did not know from where it came, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then he brings out the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until last." Hold on a minute. What does it say? Not until last, until now. There's a difference. You have saved the good wine until now. Usually they bring out the good wine and everybody has a good time and everybody's drunk and all of this stuff. But you've brought the good wine out now. See, this was a miracle of excess. This was, it didn't have to be extravagant. It didn't have to be over the top. It didn't have to be all of these. But you've saved the good wine for right now, for this moment. So when Mary reached into a future promise and brought it to now, Jesus said, okay, my time has come, and I'm going to go a step further, right? I'm going to make this the best wine. And I think it's so beautiful because when we look at this and we look at the water pots of stone, it says there were six water pots of stone according to the manner of purification of the Jews. What that meant is that was their washing. That was where they washed, right? So get the picture. The washing, the purification pots where they washed their hands and purified and cleansed themselves before they partook. Those are the pots. That was the water that Jesus used to turn into wine. So there is a manner of purification that Jesus is implementing here. He's saying, drink of this wine. Right? This is the wine. This is the new cup of the covenant. This is my blood. It's a picture. It's a foreshadowing of what was to come. Jesus is purifying us with this wine, with His blood.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Amen? What's this got to do with me? It has everything to do with you, Jesus. You've saved the good wine until now. This is the beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed in Him. Whatever He says, do it. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. And boy, when I was reading over this, after I had already, as Christina put it to me when we were at the house, it's like God thumped you on the forehead. Yeah, a little bit. But when I read over this, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Yes, sir. And so I preached this message. And Matthew 25 says, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? Well done, good and faithful servant. And I believe, not because I'm trying to get anything out of it, but I believe that because I was obedient to preach this message, one that I had already preached, one that I in my mind I said this is recycled material. But God... Have you exhausted everything there is to know about the subject? Absolutely not. And I still haven't. And I still won't. And I never will. Amen? And we could preach this 1,000 times and there would be something new come out of it. I love so much, Dad Hagin said that he could read the same scripture 100 times and he'd get something new out of it. Why? Because it's alive. There's new revelation to be had. Amen? God is revealing things to us day by day as we spend time in His Word. And we've got to realize and we've got to know that being faithful to God, it's not trying hard. It has nothing to do with talent. It's not diligence or giving your best effort. Faithfulness is doing what He said, how He said it, when He said it. That's being found faithful in the sight of God.
Yes.
Do what He says. Do it how He says. Do it when He says. Amen? Now, there is no expiration date on the promises of God. There is no expiration date on the call of God. So if you have lacked faithfulness in an area, pick it back up. Because you need to do it how He said it, when He said it, right? Because we all want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Says that you have been faithful over few things, but now I will give you charge over many things. And then what does it say? Enter into the rest of thy Lord. Amen? I want to enter into that rest, knowing that I did what He said, how He said, when He said. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we love You so much. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit that brings revelation. God, we thank You that we would walk in step with the Holy Spirit, that we would be in stride with the Holy Spirit, not trying to get ahead, not lagging behind, but that we would be in sync and in step with the Holy Spirit every step of the way. God, we thank You that You are faithful who promised. You are faithful in every area of our lives. And God, we thank You that in turn, we would reciprocate that faithfulness and that we would walk with You, doing the things that You told us to do, the way that You told us to do it, exactly when You told us to do it. Father, we're so grateful, we're so thankful for all of Your many blessings. God, for everything that You've done in our lives, for everything that You're doing right now, and oh, for the things that You're about to do. God, we thank You that as we read Your Word, as we spend time in prayer, as we commune with the Holy Spirit, that we would develop more and more who we are in You and who You are in us. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Got anything? All right. Love you guys so much. Don't forget about prayer immediately following service. You are dismissed.